You are listening to Be Simply. This is Suzanne Toro, aka She. You can anticipate being inspired, discovering some inner and outer wisdom and inspiration. Without further ado, let's dive into Be Simply. Magical lead-in was Donna DeLore, who is our special guest today. We are going to speak about this album, Gone Beyond, and her new one coming out, and the power of self-healing, innovation, listening to your heart, and returning home. So without further ado, let's dive in with Donna. Thank you for being here today. Really excited. The words innovate kept coming up this morning. Maybe I was sensing you writing and moving things around and creating. Why don't we start in there? As far as you had such a beautiful like career, and I feel like you're a model for us to be willing to innovate and try things and create in ways that we haven't done before. If you can share a little bit about that and where that's taken you lately.
Well, it all started, I was really fortunate to be brought up in a musical family. So a lot of that had to do with my bond with my father, how much I loved music because that was his passion. But I started singing at a really young age. And my dad was like a Hollywood producer, record producer and musician. So he knew the people that hired the kid singers for jobs and everything. So I started singing professionally at 8.
Wow.
And I was a studio singer. You know, I made money as a studio singer. And then I got to go and do TV shows and sing on movies and things like that. I always had early on, I had that recognition that I had a skill, you know, so I was... We had to learn how to read music to be in this group so we could do jobs.
Right.
So I had that skill growing up. But, and of course, I always wanted to be an artist. I always wanted to be like Stevie Nicks and Fleetwood Mac.
Yeah.
I wanted to be in a band. That was like, you know, or Linda Ronstadt. You know, I grew up with a lot of like country rock, you know, that kind of music in the 70s. And then disco came in and dance music, and I became a dancer, and I was obsessed with that and everything. We moved to Nashville when I was 16. My dad wanted to change with his career, and he became an arranger for a lot of country albums and everything there. I started studying guitar, and I was singing all my dad's demos and everything. And I was kind of like, well, am I a session singer? Am I an artist? You know, like, what am I? But I knew... I mean, bottom line was I loved to sing. Right. That was to be able to sing was my saving grace for everything I'd gone through in my life. Mm. It always saved me. Music always saved me. And I knew that. So at that time, I tried to be country singer. I was singing songs like country girls love country boys. That's a natural fact. You know,
yeah,
folks around the whole wide world know love's a natural act. Anyway, my dad was trying to find songs for me in Nashville that were appropriate, like for a 16-year-old,
right?
Which is not a lot,
no.
And I didn't really write my own songs and everything, so I wasn't quite the artist yet, but I wanted to be in the business and everything. So I ended up growing, I couldn't stay in Nashville because I was an LA kid. I mean, I had to take dance class, I used to go to clubs at night, the gay clubs, to dance because I could just get my workout and dance and no one would bother me as a young woman, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Moved back to LA and I was like wanting to be an artist, but just trying to like survive in the world.
Yeah.
And 3 waitress jobs. I started working in a publishing company, making tape copies and everything. And then I started singing their demos and everyone's demos in the world. Like I was the demo singer in LA, $50, and I would sing someone's song. And I always thought someone's going to discover me that way.
Right.
Yeah, I thought, well, some record exec's going to discover my voice on one of these songs and I'm going to get a record deal.
Right.
But it doesn't work that way. You know, you have to really pay your dues.
Yeah.
So I paid my dues, a lot of dues. Ended up working for producer Pat Leonard, who was working with Madonna at the time. I always tell the story about I did the demo for Open Your Heart. That's how he heard my voice. But he ended up getting me an audition for Madonna. And I went in. It was like my way out of, my way out of the country and on tour. But like my way out of all these like jobs I had, struggling. You know, I was in a band at the time and I was like, just left everybody behind. I got the job and went off with Madonna. Yeah. Keep in mind, you know, of course I still wanted to be an artist, but I loved music. Back to that loving music.
Right.
And just loving, you know, the vibration, being a singer, singing with people, you know, all of that. And then in comes the, you know, the ego with wanting fame and wanting to be a star. And being around Madonna was like, oh, I want to be just like her. You know, she's my big sister.
Right.
And then I got on this whole thing that I was comparing myself to her and having to be strife for that. And I ended up getting my own record deal, doing the big album release, the whole thing, and somewhat losing myself because some of the songs, most of them I loved, but some of the direction I was being pushed in, I didn't feel great about it.
Right.
You know, at the end of the day, we're in the record company playing the record and I'm supposed to feel so fulfilled and satisfied. And there were moments that I was like embarrassed, you know, I knew I was better than that, but I felt the pressure. I just felt the pressure from the business and everything. And I was like 26,
Like
lying about my age at 26 because they would think I was too old. I mean, the whole thing was absurd.
But
it was a fun ride,
right?
And everything.
Like
and I was so young.
You
oh my young. God. And then I did end up having like a top 10 dance single and I'm like in Scotland in the disco singing. Was it just a dream? Was it just a dream? I was like in a bar and people started fighting and there were like bottles being thrown all over the place. And, and I honestly was like, what am I doing with my life? Like, this is not what I want. I was alone doing clubs every night to track. And what I just felt like I'd lost myself in a way.
Right.
Came home from all of that. I kept touring with Madonna because that was a great day job. And I ended up leaving my record company, leaving everything behind and teaming up with a cellist, this man named Cameron Stone. I discovered the harmonium. There was this whole movement in LA going on where people were doing world music. People like, there was a band Voss, Dave Stringer.
Yeah.
You know, I was influenced by listening to Jai Uttal, walked in the room. KD was playing one time and I was like, I don't know what he's saying. I don't know what this is. But the way people were singing together, the devotion, you know, it had kind of mirrored my own spiritual path that I'd always been on and reading books and the teachings and everything. But I had no idea that I could actually put that in my music.
Right.
I didn't know I could talk about my connection with God, with nature, with believing in the soul in a person. And the soul connection and, you know, I just had no idea I could do that. And I ended up getting a chance to make a kind of a yoga mantra CD and going down more of that devotional path. And at first it was kind of like, in some ways I knew a couple of mantras and I got offered this deal to do a whole album. And it's almost like this person was seeing my future, where I was going, and I didn't even see it. And I did the album, and it was fun, and it was effortless, and it was beautiful. And so many people felt so much from this music, you know.
Absolutely.
And I loved practicing yoga and meditation and sound healing. So I delved more into that and went down that path and got into playing like conscious music festivals and churches. And, you know, I'd already been doing devotional music. I feel like go back to like my album Bliss with Amazing Grace. There's a song On and On, you know, and that was the first indie album that I made that was, I could listen to it from start to finish and feel that satisfaction.
Right.
And feel that pride. I felt like it was my heart.
Yeah.
And it was an indie album. I got in a van with my band and I played like every Borders, every Virgin Megastore, you know?
Yeah.
And, and it was hard, and it was hard compared to the way I toured with Madonna. You know, our hotels were like the Hampton Inn or instead of the Four Seasons.
Exactly.
And I'd gotten, I have to admit, I got used to those nice accommodations and the high thread count and the whole thing.
Yeah.
But going back to like the reason and the why I found the reason why I'm doing music, you know?
Yeah.
And honestly, sometimes I'll run into like my old manager or someone who's like, they're really, you know, successful manager now, younger artist. They're in the business wheeling and dealing and everything. And I think like, oh, I gotta get the song on that movie and I gotta get that Grammy and everything. And these are dreams I had all my life.
Right.
But I realize when I really go into my heart and I'm making music, I am very satisfied. And yeah. I try to, that feeling of just the practice of creating, the practice of just releasing something out into the world.
Yeah.
or having a house concert, or getting up in front of your family and sharing a song.
Yeah.
I think a big part of my message is that it doesn't have to be a career. It doesn't have to have all these conditions on it. It doesn't have to have $10 million on it or a big record deal or the marketing strategy and everything. It's like looking back at my life, if stars align, if that is your path, if that's your dharma, great.
Absolutely.
So be it.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't mean, and if it's not, if that's not, doesn't mean you don't inspire people every day and you don't bless people with your offering.
Absolutely.
And with your voice.
Yeah.
And just a voice of gratitude and how infectious that is for someone you meet who's just saying, I'm so grateful today. I'm so blessed. And I think it's even better if you say, I'm blessed, so blessed. There's something about when you sing and share your heart that it just makes the world a better place. And
absolutely. Uh-huh.
And yeah, so that's where I'm at now.
Your music touched me before I knew you or had interviewed you over the years. But, you know, in that spiritual sacred space, and if you can go a little deeper into that, because I feel we're definitely, as we bridge into this age that's welcoming us to be in our mastery, it sounds to me like you were in an internal struggle of your soul's like, hey, come on over here. And, you know, of course, it's a pretty amazing having toured with a well-known group. That's a whole like wild, you know, you're on stage with a lot of people and you're like, wow, this is pretty amazing to feel that, but your soul wanted you to go someplace else. And can you share a little bit more about how, when that alignment happens, we feel it through your music, with the heart and the voice and just creation in general, the magic that's there?
Well, what just came to mind was when I was given a harmonium. And I had been like, you know, I had my O&W keyboard where I would sequence things and layer tracks and everything. And then when I got my studio, I was putting down like tons of keyboards and all this stuff. I was always had so much noise and sound around my voice. Like I wasn't able to find my voice.
Mm.
And so when I left, you know, my company, I went to Guitar Center. I bought like an Ashiko drum and it was so minimal. And the little recording equipment, and someone gave me a harmonium. And I started like, you know, on a harmonium, you can't play like two-handed, you know, all these amazing chords, and because you have to pump the air with one hand while you're mostly playing two notes, because you want that sustain of that air, and it's a reed instrument. It's like the vocal cords with the air vibrating the reeds. So it took me a while to figure out how to work it because someone just gave it to me to take home. And I started singing my songs on it. And it was like this magical instrument for me to find stillness. And the songs that I had then, you know, that were a little more like pop in nature, singer-songwriter kind of thing, I would play those on the harmonium. Mm. And I would just, this is before I had kids, so I had like all day to play and to sing. And I just like, it was just my heart. It was like, it's a devotional instrument. I found that place of devotion in myself. Mm-hmm. And I sang with it. And I found a whole new voice that people would tell me in the past. They would say, there's a, you know, they'd say like, Donna, you're trying to like rock out your voice so much. There's this purity in your voice that you don't ever use. That's there. There's air in there that, it's just so beautiful. So I finally got to find that air from just having the stillness and the space. And I've, you know, thank God I found that. And then I started bringing in the instruments around that.
Right.
And I love to arrange and layer. And, you know, I get carried away with that on my records. And I always want to like challenge myself to like really do an album where it's almost just like voice and harmonium.
Yeah. Yeah.
And maybe some birds and, you know, whatever's on the recording, but it was that. And now, you know, sometimes I'll forget, like I won't have my harmonium out. Maybe I'll be playing guitar in the mornings when I create. I'll bring that harmonium out, set it up, start playing, and it just pulls me. It pulls me into that space again.
Yeah.
And it's so beautiful. And I thought, you know, could I ever tour without my harmonium? And could I just, because it's, you know, it's temperamental when you're taking on the plane and sometimes you have to fight for the overhead space and everything.
Right.
which is crazy. But I thought, well, they can backline, just get me a keyboard or whatever. But there's something about that instrument for me that just really works. All of music, it helps me connect. Guitar can as well. Mm. But that is just like my baby, and I've become so like precious about my harmonium.
Yeah.
Like I've had that 25 years. Mm. And I'm like, what would ever happen if I lost it or got broken? Like, what would I do? But it's all here, you know, as it is in all of us.
Absolutely. And, who gave it to you?
Okay, that one I bought.
The original one
was given to me by a friend of mine who ended up sadly in his early 30s got testicular cancer and passed. Mm-hmm. And we shared this love for world music, and you know, we were both songwriters, and he gave it to me one day when I was leaving a party at his house, and he's just like, take this and have it as long as you want.
Mm-hmm.
So so I ended up buying one when I went to Ali Akbar Music College in San Rafael. And, you know, if you are interested in a harmonium, I recommend going to a place where you could just sit there and try out all the instruments and see which one speaks to you the most, you know?
Absolutely.
And then get them to get it in tune and everything. And so I got that. And now it's like screws are falling out. It's cracking, you know? And it's like any wood instrument, it ages.
Right. Absolutely. Expansion and contraction and everything. Yeah.
Yeah. So. Now, I mean, I made this album, the last album's Gone Beyond. And I always loved, like Joseph Campbell would talk about in Buddhism, this symbol of the it's like the boat that takes you to the other side. It takes you to the
crossing,
you know,
over
island, crossing over to enlightenment, consciousness and everything. And I thought that that's music is that for me.
Oh.
somebody puts on music and it's just like, it's the tool for me to just drop deeper.
Mm. And when you're in
that, it works for me in such a big way.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Well, we bring into creation through our voice, you know, and you do it through song. Mm-hmm. And when you're in that space, when you're, I call it a crossed over, where your awareness, you're just in this resonance of all. Where, how do you carry that through everyday moments, or do you, or is it just when you're in the music space, or do you share it, that resonance, throughout your daily life with your family? And
you know, it's so interesting, lately I've been like, I get up and I'm in that space because my husband and my daughter, you know, they go to work and school and I'm working from home, so I'm in that like creative space because it just kind of came out of a dream, and I feel like the morning is so creative and, you know, more poetic. And then I'll go to the studio maybe and do vocals and everything. And then in the afternoon, I mean, I switch into mom mode. And then I'm like getting my daughter, getting her from point A to point B, coordinating her writing schedule, going to the store, you know. Yeah. And that's like the practical things of being a mom and taking care of life for us and everything.
Absolutely.
And then evening is family time and everything. So I just am... I feel like you find that time that's most creative for you, whenever that is. It used to be the late nights for me forever. I was a night owl.
Yeah.
And I'd be going in my studio, which was not good, in front of the computer, like for hours before I went to sleep.
Right.
And I didn't sleep as well at all. And now I'm like, you know, just bring it down at night and everything with a melatonin and all that.
Yeah.
But to find that creative time, whatever it is, like it could be sitting in the rain or being in a certain space or going to a cafe and being around people, but having your notepad and being out in the world, you know, I just try to like know myself where I'm gonna be, find that place in myself. And it is funny. I mean, I was going to a friend's house the other day. I was coming home. It was in the Palisades, so it was like on a hill with a beautiful view. I pulled over, I was listening to my track, and I literally like got my pad out and I wrote a lyric like right there in the car. Yeah. Because I was just in that space.
Yeah, it's dropping.
So now in. I keep, you know, everything in my car in case I want to write that and everything.
Absolutely.
But yoga, I mean the yoga walks, you know, thankfully my life has just gotten a lot more mindful, and everything I feel is mindfulness practice. And
absolutely.
Eating, the concept of like sitting down and being mindful eating and with prayerful and tuning into the body and walking and tuning into nature, and or just, you know, we're all just like, I got to do, go all the time, be able to just go out, put a chair outside somewhere on of your home, or find a place in nature and just sit there, of course, meditate, but just sit there and witness and observe. And
yeah, you can learn a lot from nature.
Yeah. And just being.
Yeah.
And I watch like my husband zips around like all the time. Like he's so busy and he's always doing a project and everything. And it's interesting when you're around people like that, the real challenge is to not get up and be like, oh, I gotta do something too.
Yeah. Yeah, because energy feeds off each other, as you know, having a family, everyone can be in a different frequency all at once.
Yeah, and my daughter goes to a school where they have to do sit spots.
Mm.
So they have to sit, find a place, they all have to spread out and sit somewhere. Right. And they'll have like their journal.
That's
and
great.
And sit there for 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just a great practice, I think, to teach kids for when they have to make decisions, get in touch with their feelings. You know, there's, I think overall now there's a lot more we're providing tools to children than I had when I was young.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, that's evolution, right? We're evolving and becoming more conscious with our state of being and way of being.
Beautiful. And acceptance and... Yeah, it's a big one.
Yeah. And you mentioned Dharma earlier. share a little bit about that, because it's a beautiful, you know, when I work with people one-on-one, I'm always feeling kind of into their kind of, I call it their quantum field, because we can have goals, you know, and you having the full spectrum of like being on a mega stage and all of that, and then really sinking into what your role in this life, really the mastery and at a, I would say, a higher level, you know, a higher level of quality and sanctity. If you can share a little bit more about that, because there's so much opportunity when we meet our Dharma in the way that we can enrich it and grow with it and be comfortable with it. If you can share a little bit from your perspective about that.
Life is just revealed to me, you know, where I need to be. And I think a lot of that is just knowing yourself and being able to let go. It's something like, you know, the way I was raised in music business, and I even found a dream of my journal of my dad's, where he was like, I hope Donna's dream comes true. I hope she makes it really big. You know, that was like my dad's dream for me. Because that was like, it's what he saw was happiness and success, you know? And I remember he would come to my concerts and I'd do one song for 20 minutes. And he was just not getting it at all. He was like, oh my God, that went on forever. You know, I'm like, Dad, I'm trying to provide a zone for people. And it's like, it was like trance dance concert.
Yeah.
And I'm like, did you tune in with the people? I mean, they were like feeling the music and vibrating with it and moving. And it was so healing. I mean, how could I end the song? You know what I mean? It's like, I just want to get lost in it and stay in it.
Yep.
But he was from such a different time. And it was like an arrangement and this and a song and everything. He finally like started getting it at the very end of his life. He would come to my concerts. He'd come to my concerts and be like, does everyone know each other here? You know? And I'm like, yeah, we do.
Yeah.
It revealed itself to me, and it's constantly revealing itself, because I love being a songwriter, you know, and I love, there's still voices in my head, even with the songwriting craft of like rhyming or whatever, how something has to be.
Right.
And I go back to like, it's always sound vibration for me with words.
Yeah.
I don't feel like I'm the most clever, well-read person to like come up with the biggest, best metaphors and everything in the lyric. Like, I got to work with Leonard Cohen, who I sing on his record, and they put those lyrics in front of me to sing with him, and I was freaking out. I mean, it's just like, what a poet, what a writer, you know? Yeah. And it was a craftsman of words.
Right.
And I appreciate that so much. And I want to develop that, but it is always, I say to myself, like, how does it sound? So I'll say the words, like I'm working on a song that's about my daughter. And I'll start with the phrasing, with the music, and then I'll say the words, and sometimes they don't even make sense, but the sound just makes sense to me.
Right.
So it's sound vibration. That's the way I was drawn to mantras.
Yep.
I would, Aham Prema was...
Aham Prema.
But I heard it. I literally went to the piano, came up with a whole piece, a song around that mantra, and then discovered what it meant, you know? But I felt the vibration.
Yeah.
So I feel like my dharma and my path is so much about that vibration and being as personal as possible for me, whether it's a song about my daughter, something that I feel so strongly about. And if no one else is talking about it, so be it.
Right.
I mean, it's something I feel strongly about. And before, I had these voices in my head that were like, you can't say that. You can't talk about that. It's depressing.
Yeah.
Or what right do you have to say that? it's like you, because you haven't had that experience, you're going to talk about someone else's experience, but I'm feeling it and I feel for them. And I'm imagining myself in that situation.
Yeah.
So, and I want to maybe bring light to a dark situation, you know? So I still have, I have to just keep getting back to my center of like, well, how does it sound, Donna? Like, forget, get out of your left brain and don't try to be so craftsy here, you know, and just be honest. How does it sound to you? Record it. Listen back. Does it move you? Is it your heart? Is it your heart's voice?
Right.
There's that with my songwriting, but then with the sound healing and the layering and the, I'm just always trying to go for something that's transcendent. It's just a sound that's what it's like. I hear back some of my vocals and I'm like, what time and space are those in?
Right.
Like I go for like depth in a recording. Yeah. So they're way off in the distance, but they're from another time, you know, it's like I'm writing a song about my daughter, about when she was a magical child. You were born a magical child, imagining a world of fairy play. And I'm talking about the metaphor of our door, her going out the door and coming in the door through her life so far.
Yeah.
And me wanting her to go out and be free. And I say some words, but then I go into this like just layered vocals that are kind of like just the essence of thinking of who she is in her spirit.
Yeah.
And just trying to capture that. And it comes from your own vision and your own, whatever it is. You could be a songwriter and you have a idea for, you see a video or a movie of this song. You could see the whole thing.
Yeah.
And then you create it so it's the most realized to your vision or what you heard.
Yeah.
And now it's for my music, that's my path with like health challenges over the last year, some years, with genetic things I've been dealing with. I've gone deeper. That's more my life path of go deeper into this healing music, because I literally like had to have it to heal.
Yeah. Absolutely. And
I, more than ever, I've always wanted to make music to help people get more into their hearts and to heal and to practice forgiveness and be able to let go.
Yeah.
And sometimes it takes an illness, something or something to come along and shock you into knowing you got to let it go.
Yeah. Well, and the possibility. Within the let go, you know?
Yeah. Right? And you may, let go and the non-attachment and all of that, and that it's all okay and finding that place. But that feeling that it's all going to be okay is in music for me. So no matter what I've gone through, when I was facing my darkest times, music is what made me ultimately feel it was all going to be okay. Yeah. And of course, my family and my loved ones around me supporting me. And I just, you know, I met a beautiful woman yesterday in a cafe. She was there with her computer writing. And we're just talking about just the practice of just doing this every day. And that's your path. You know, it's not so much where it's leading, where you're going to be, the end result. And what you end up finishing creating, you know, I've been trying to focus more on the practice.
Absolutely. But well, you're like this beautiful bridge because you're taking the acoustics and reaching the spirit, the soul, the divine. And then you're also had this classically trained aspect of yourself, you know, so it's beautiful to watch, you know, you're able to pull from both skill sets and blend them in a way that's very beautiful and unique, right?
Yes. And I love, you know, my favorite thing, of course, I love great musicians, you know, but I love to find a great musician that can like really go to that understanding and just being in that devotional space. Yeah. Because sometimes you're just on one note. Absolutely. It's not about all the changes in the notes and the jazz and, you know.
Yeah.
It's just about resting for that 20 minutes or an hour in a groove. Yeah. Simplicity. I mean, that's a lot of world music. It's like they stay on that root note and there's the drone. And this recent project, I worked with this beautiful musician named James Hera, who's a guitar player, and he's been a side musician for so many years, and he's been composing on his own music and everything. But I was going through this whole thing. I had to have a surgery and my whole healing journey. He started sending me tracks because I said, we should just make like a healing album, you know, let's make an album together. So he would just send me the music. So I would just get it, you know, I'd be like in bed and I'd have my phone. I'd open up the text with a voice, whatever. He'd send me the track. And I started writing over the track.
Oh, beautiful.
And what was so interesting is that, because he's played with me for a long time and he plays with like Lyle Lovett. He's, you know, he's played with so many musicians and great Alita Adams and all kinds of like R&B, jazz, everything. So his musical vocabulary is so great. And so when you give him like a project, like write the music, he could write anything and everything. Right. But what he was sending me was so simple. And when I would ask him what the chords were, he's like, it's so simple, you know? Yeah. And I love that, that here is this man who's just such an accomplished musician and sent me something so beautiful and simple. And then that allowed me to get into that space, that healing space. And I would, a couple of the tracks I had to live with them and really like, okay, what do I hear over this? But some of them, honestly, first listening to it, I would play it from my computer and have my voice memo, and I would put down melody and lyrics instantly as I was listening to it.
Wow.
Because I felt a mood of the music. And maybe something was on my mind I was going through, I wanted to, you know, say in the song or whatever. But a lot of it is just about like your higher voice guiding you through the healing and knowing that the healer is within and that there's always love surrounding you. And it's like all really positive affirmations that, and about no matter, it's never too late to dream. Dream big, you know? And I think when you get like, you know, it's like you get midlife, you get a lot of things you wanted, dreams you had, or feel like they're behind you. And now, you know, for me, it's like, okay, being a grandparent, you know what I mean? Like I have a 19-year-old, 13-year-old, like watching my daughters grow up and, and going into like older years and and like what are you dreaming now? What are you dreaming for your life? What are you dreaming for your soul? And trying to, you know, that was
Well, that you mentioned Leonard Cohen, he's a perfect example of someone that, you know, his last album before he passed, you know, what a poetic, you know, it doesn't, it keeps going on if we choose to allow it, you know?
It keeps going on. And he, like, working on his album was, he was saying that, like, some of those songs he'd been working on the lyric for 25 years. And, but, you know, as we, I think you just start realizing that it's all happening. I just believe that, like, all the emotion, all the love you've ever felt, all the connections are all, there's no time and space. They're all just there in this like dream place to, to call forth. And as an artist, you can call that forth. You could easily bring that forth because it's always like right there. So accessible. So you can bring back that relationship from 25 years ago, that feeling or how you felt when you were a child, you know? And or just the dream world, talking about your dreams. And I love that. I love living in that space.
Yeah.
You know, beautiful. I love talking to people and relating on that level. You know, like I always ask my kids, what was your dream last night? You know, what did you dream? Tell me about your dream.
Yeah.
And this, you know what I mean? That's like the stuff I want to talk about.
Absolutely. Well, you're tapping into, you know, the subconscious when we dream, you know, our subconscious mind. So it's a great, you know, thing. My daughter and I do that. We exchange our dreams and I dream for my clients. So it's fun to like then figure out like, oh, what are they going to reveal in their session with me today? You know, because I can see into their mind a little bit before they come. So it's so beautiful.
Yeah. I'd love to hear more about the work you're doing. And
yeah, well, the subconscious, I mean, being that you're in tune with your dreams, it'd be beautiful for you to write from that space too, music, because those are some of the deepest essence
I do,
of
definitely.
Yeah. And our inner healing and making peace with things that are, as you know, you put the Heart Sutra on your last album, right? And so the, you know, that's all about clearing, you know, the duality within ourselves. All things exist and all don't. So when we can clear up that subconscious mind and the dreaming attention, it's so powerful. You know, it's pretty exciting. You probably have a lot of juicy things to share from there.
A lot of, you know, melodies. I have so many voice memos of dreams.
Yeah.
And, you know, there'll be a dream. It's so funny. I'll have so many dreams where I'm like, oh, that's really cool. And then I realize that's my song. Like, that's my melody. It's my dream.
Yeah.
So I can write it because it will be like in my dream, it will be another artist singing the song, an artist that I love.
Right.
And I'll realize that is not their song. That's, I'm the dreamer and this is my creation.
Yeah.
And I'll go get up in the middle of the night. So funny to go to the bathroom or something. And I've got like my voice memo going and singing like with my gravelly voice. And then I sing the instrumental parts too. I have to sing like don't go. The guitar that the guy was playing and the beat.
I love it.
It is so funny.
You're creating in your sleep. That's awesome.
Oh my God. And then my dad is in my dreams. Often in my dreams, and there's always something being created there as well.
Yeah.
And gosh, my dad's that would be something to do a session on. It's like his presence in my dreams. And
I remember when he passed. What year was that?
2012.
Okay, yeah. So it feels like this year feels a lot like 2012. This visual artist, I was like, I'm going to be interviewing her. You might know her, Martina Hoffman. But I was like, this year feels a lot like 2012. And I remember because we did an interview around the time, I think it was shortly after your father had passed. So it feels, that's interesting. You're feeling him come back a lot, maybe in your dreams or over this whole period. Because we truly are multidimensional beings. So when our souls need to access one another, we're there and there's no separation. There really is no time. There's just space, but it's all pretty much layered like the music you create, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's interesting. He's probably close by.
It's so interesting because out of all the things like I have of my dad's, like I kept like all his clothes, I even did a post one time with his suit on. He would play with his Latin band.
Yeah.
His like cream suit that he had custom made in Nashville. It was like his Cuban band suit, you know, like Cuban jazz. He was the band leader and had this big Latin band in Nashville before it was like, before they had all kinds of world music there. And I kept so many of his things, but when I put on his music, I'm in the car, it's usually the morning, you know, driving down by the ocean, and I put on his music and I'm like, that is the best gift my dad could ever leave.
Absolutely.
You know, out of his diaries and his all these things that like I go to like find him in places, pictures of him on his boat. But his music, it's because I just so feel that passion and that inspiration. And I'm just like, and you know, it's interesting. I didn't, when he was doing like this, like da 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 dun dun dun, you know, this music like in the 90s, and I was like, you know, tripping out to my like Robbie Robertson and the Red Road Ensemble and David Byrne and you know what and Krishna Das and everything. I'm like, I wasn't into all that like Latin jazz music.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, it's cute. I mean, it's just so happy.
Yeah.
You know? And I was into my moody stuff.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, in Taos, New Mexico and in the forest and now I put it on and I just appreciate him more than ever.
And yeah, I hope, absolutely.
Of course, I hope my kids, you know, that they grew up. A lot of times music took me away. I had to be on tour or yeah. I was in the studio and they felt like that passion I had was, you know, it's devotion.
Yeah.
Sometimes they felt like it was being taken away from them because I was putting it into the music.
Yeah.
But I hope that one day they can really appreciate me
yeah.
and my music when I'm not there in physical form, just like.
Yeah,
that they could feel me like I can feel my dad.
Yeah, absolutely. I think so. Yeah. And as kids get older, they tend to appreciate the little seeds that have been left for them along the way, right?
Yeah. And thank God it's digital, you know? It's like,
I don't know. Vinyls are making a comeback. So
they are, but all that old stuff, it's like, try to get it to play. You know, it's all worn out and skipping.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, so. I hope you press a couple because I have a feeling we're going to be back in vinyl for a lot of reasons. So
no, we are. Yeah.
If you can press a couple albums. So I saw the other day you have Gone Beyond that came out. You did two in 2021 and then you just did a remix. Right?
Yeah. So Hum is the first track. So Hum.
Yeah, that's breathing right. Because oh, that I love that mantra also. It's a great way for someone just to connect to their breath and the meditative state. And then now as you're progressing, because you're in creation mode right now, where are you headed? Where's your vision facing or focused on?
Well, I'm going to continue to release like one remix at a time from that album and some other tracks that I've worked with. A remixer who worked with for years, his name's Adam Smith, A-T-O-M Smith. I used to work with many remixers, but it's just, I've kind of like settled into working with him now. And we just one song at a time.
Nice.
And then I'm working on that project with this man, James Hara. So it'll be Donna DeLorean, James Hara.
Beautiful.
And the whole album, like we've written like 9 or 10 songs, but it's going to be, you know, it's going to be healing, music for healing. Nice. And like I said, it's all so far, no mantra. I mean, it's just English mantra, you know, just affirmations and some of my songs in there, you know, a couple songs and just what else am I working on? That's pretty much it. Yeah. I kind of like went through my whole like healing journey, getting, you know, back to just getting back to mountain biking and being as physical as I can and feeling feeling like that. He's getting like, I've been kind of like in a dream space writing that record. And now it's like, okay, it's going to get done.
Nice.
Yeah. And it's going to get completed. And I hopefully this year.
Perfect.
I don't know the name of it, but the one about my daughter and the one about dreaming is going to be on there. And one that's just simply, you know, the mantra is I am healthy.
Mm.
And every cell in my body is healthy.
Yeah.
And it's that daily, I think it's so powerful to just have those affirmations going when you are needing to heal the physical body.
Yeah. Well, share a little bit about that for yourself, even like how you found that power and knowing, you know, because you're producing a song, but you know it. So can you share a little bit about that knowing of how the mind can heal and the inner self can heal?
Well, I was like in, I got a, like a near infrared sauna and I was doing, you know, my sauna. I kind of do like a sauna ceremony. Cause I kind of, it's kind of like a sweat lodge to me.
Yeah. I miss prayer the sweat room. Lodge.
You know, nice. It blocks all EMFs. So it's like a, it's a womb.
Right.
And I usually would do it like when the days were shorter, it would get dark and I'd put on an album that I love. That was a journey. And I was putting on Mirabai Seba's most recent album. Mm. And I just felt like it was the perfect journey. And then she gets to like Rama Rama mantra. And that's the one that goes on for like at least 10 minutes or something. But it seems to me that in my hour of being in the sauna, it's when I'm like dropping in the most. Mm. And I started just going on like playing drones. I would just go on YouTube and play like drone meditation music, you know, just real stillness. I was in there just like in my space healing, and I just started singing, may every cell in my body be happy, every cell in my body be free, returning to perfect ease. And it's about returning to ease.
Yeah.
And the place that I was in, and I, my phone was like outside of the sauna. So I reach out, grab my phone, hit the voice memo. And I'm like in there, like sweating my brains out, singing. And then I had to like transcribe later what I said in the sauna because I wanted to make it into a piece. And it's just over a drone. And then a lot of tracks, I'll just have oming underneath as the bed. Mm. So the bed for this is just, I am healthy. You know, and that would go, that's the mantra through. And when I would like encounter other people that were, you know, whoever it is dealing with challenges with their health, I would send them a piece that is like, you know, I felt was a healing and all the positive affirmations. And I would, I would literally say, listen to this all day long.
Yeah.
Like just listen to this till this is the voice in your head.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And maybe some people don't need that discipline to like listen so much that that's what they hear.
Yeah.
But you got to have that voice. You got to have that voice. It's not just once a week when you're in yoga class, you know,
absolutely.
Or you need to have it all.
Well, that's why mantra was part of the reason mantra's there. I mean, there's layers to it if it's with an empowerment, but it's to clear the thought and reaffirm and call in. So, yeah, the last time we spoke, you went into, you know, you have this angelic range. And it comes through when you're in English, you're speaking English. So I'm so excited that you did that, because for some people, then that also with their neural pathways and their speech, it really reaffirms for them, especially if they haven't been working with the mantra in an empowerment sense. You know, it may have a meaning to them, but yeah, that's exciting.
Yeah. Yeah. And that, I mean, I always envision, I like to close an album with that drone and that stillness, but I don't know where, I don't know how I'm going to sequence it, because it's, as it always is, a journey.
Absolutely.
And how I'm going to start it and go, you know, I know everyone just downloads songs now and they add songs to playlists, and that's the way it is. But I still want to make an album that you can, like, I put on in the sauna, or I put on for meditation practice. I want to hear, I want an hour.
Absolutely.
To take me on the journey. And it's like, I come out when it's over.
Yeah.
And I do this whole thing in the sauna where then I turn off the lights and then I'm just kind of like, I'm just, you know, it's the womb, you know, it's just going back to the, it's going back to the mother, always is. And it's always going back to that. I'm the one who's going to heal myself, you know?
Absolutely.
And I have to find the space to do it.
Yeah. And And I love that you're inviting others to do that, because it's one of the, I would say, deprogramming that we all need to go through, especially in a Western culture, that we actually are the mechanism that heals self. Mother Nature gave us that mechanism, but, you know, we can convince ourselves otherwise with our brain, with what we tell ourselves, with our voice, you know, so.
Yeah. And a lot of times there's that, you know, it's, we all go through it. There's that outside searching. Oh, you hear about somebody, I want to go to him. Or there's that psychic, or there's that medical intuitive, or whoever it is. I want them to tell me what's going on inside of me.
Yeah.
And it's finding that way to tune in so you can tell yourself what's going on.
Absolutely. It's beautiful. And we need,
of course, we need guides. We need people yeah. to maybe yeah. suggest things that, of course.
Yeah.
Because they're tuning into your energy and they have their expertise and their intuition.
Yep.
You know?
Yep. Well, I look forward to the day where we're all well, because I have a lot of art I want to create. Not that I don't create on the side, but, you know, sometimes the field of wellness, you know, maybe is attached to people not being well, but I'm like, may we all be well. And then we can dance and play and create much and have a lot more fun. So.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you're, do you have someone that you go to for your, that you look to or has been kind of your mentor?
I have two, well, I have several elders that I work with, like they're kind of the last traditional elders in their locations or from different locations, Tibet and Guatemala and Hopi Nation. And my relationship with them is more, I don't know, kind of somewhat of a colleague in a sense or a helper to them. But also I have deep respect for them in a way that they're my inspiration to do better and be better. If that makes sense, like step it up a notch. So, because it's easy to, especially living in more of a urban jungle that we live in California, to, you know, wayward, you know, we're not on a literal mountaintop with no one around, you know, but I'm a big advocate for self-healing. That's how I've been my whole life. You know, I had some serious things happen to me as a teen and I needed to, well, I guess I didn't need to, but I took it upon myself to find the way. And that actually was through the arts. You know, I went to a lot of art galleries, nature, you know, reading and self-inquisition just to like move on. Cause I was like, I don't want to stay feeling like this. You know, I was like, I got to move on and feel good and have healed myself many times over from some serious things. So I love that you're welcoming others to do it. You know, and then we can all have a big dance party.
Yeah. So. Let's celebrate. Where do we celebrate together? Where do we celebrate together now?
Absolutely. Now I met a great doctor from India. I've been studying some of his, I love food and creating alchemy of food, but he's treated everything through this COVID through food. And so he would push the envelope. He goes, we had dancing, we had singing, we had a wedding, open aired hospitals. He's like, he's a renegade. They don't let him really be on the internet anywhere. I was lucky enough to find him in this doctor's group that I was learning from. But yeah, it's like that creates well-being. And he, you know, has documented all these cases just to show how powerful it is. He's going to push everything, you know, anywhere
that
we
sounds
can meet.
Wonderful. There's, I'm doing a couple events that just feel so, it feels kind of like vacations. You know, I'm going to Ashland, which I love going there every summer to Relaxpansion, which is Lloyd Bard, his vision. And there's going to be like Mike Love, Simrit is going to be there. A lot of artists over like a long weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday in Ashland.
That'll be
And that's going to be super fun because the hot springs are right there, the well springs. Yeah. So it's like all, of course, it's called Relaxpansion. So it's really about finding that ease in community and it's all outside.
Yeah.
So that's beautiful. And then I'm doing... Bhakti Love. Have you heard about that? Bhakti Love that's happening.
Yeah.
Outside
Where are they
of
doing it now? Oh, okay.
It's outside of Bakersfield. I may have this wrong, but Lake Isabella, is that the big lake?
I don't
lake
know. I'm not, okay. But I'm not familiar with the lakes by there, but yeah, that would make sense.
You could look up Bhakti Love. It's going to be beautiful. A lot of kirtan, a lot of yoga, you know, it's
nice.
There's no, unfortunately, there's no Bhakti Fest anymore.
Yep.
That I know of. So, you know, I feel like people are really wanting to
definitely
be together in nature and come out and dance. And so I'm excited about that.
Yeah.
You know, I'm more excited about that than like going and touring like clubs and indoor spaces.
Yeah. You know, outdoor spaces are so dreamy. Yeah. Mm. So they're the best. That's where I like to teach is outdoors. So it's nice. It's better to be that way. Yeah.
Are you doing anything where you travel?
Not right now. I had a some things planned before we started this little brouhaha here on planet Earth, but now I'm like coming out of that. I'm like, okay, we have to like rebook some of these things. So, well, I'm excited about hearing your healing tracks, and I want to celebrate those, and then your singles. And I'll put your are your dates for your events on your website too. I was on there that coming up, the Bhakti
they
Love.
They should
and
be.
Then,
they were okay. I have someone who does all that, adding that
I'll
in.
Find
so
them.
Hopefully they are. If not, I mean, it's Relax Expansion, Ashland, Oregon, and the other one is Bhakti Love.
Yeah, I'll remember both of those. So that's
everybody,
amazing.
Come see us. Hope you can. I hope you can come to Bhakti Love.
Yeah, absolutely.
Maybe.
Yeah. That sounds like a good. I'm ready for the outdoors and some being in sacred heart harmony feels good for all of us for sure. So put all of this together. I really appreciate you being here, Donna, and all that you are. You've always continued to touch my soul, and some of your music is like time stamped with, you know, periods of my life where I needed to be in that resonance just to be held by the divine, you know. So thank you for all that you do.
Thank you for all you do.
Fire.